And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. 36 days on the road, 8 countries, 10 time zones. Kind of sounds like the schedule for a 70s rock band, doesn't it? Still on the road, trying to live off its hits from 40 years ago, but it's not. Instead, it's the recent schedule for our very own music-loving, road-weary Mickey Fulp, who finds himself in rather odd surroundings, his home. How's it feel to be back, Mickey?
That feels pretty good, Rob. You know, this is the first interview we've done after a hiatus of 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We had this idea we were going to do interviews on the road, but that absolutely didn't happen. So I went from Albuquerque to New York to Kosovo to Portugal to Geneva to Sweden to Estonia to Finland and Vancouver. 3 speaking engagements, 3 company field tours, 2 operating mines, and a rare earth element separation plant. That was the trip.
You're making me tired just listening to it. You've been all over the map over the past month and a half or so, and among your stops was the P in the PIGS countries. PIGS being the acronym for 4 financially strapped European nations: Portugal, Ireland, Greece, and Spain. We're going to focus on Portugal for this edition of the program. I guess you could say really that it's the second in our mini-series of reports looking at economies, the mineral and investment potential of various countries. We've already talked about Brazil. We're going to talk about Portugal this time. What are your impressions of that country, Mickey? Tell us a little bit about your trip there, your purpose for being there, and what was the feeling you had when you left Portugal?
It's a small country, about the size of Indiana, borders only with Spain, the Atlantic Ocean. Less than 11 million people, so not highly populated. It's got an aging population. There's basically no growth, only by immigration, which isn't much. Very well developed, 60% urban, 85% Catholic, 93% literate. It's a parliamentary democracy in a general European style. Economy is not very robust, as we all know. It's basically a service economy, 60% industry at 28% and agriculture at 12%. Part of the problem with the country is 98% of the oil is imported, so it has a 50% trade deficit, for instance.
Mm-hmm. And this is a country, Mickey, with some very serious economic challenges ahead. They're not rioting in the streets of Lisbon like they have been in Athens. But how do you try to turn the ship around when you're such a small fish in a big pond? This is quite a challenge for Portugal, isn't it?
Well, it is, and you got to give them credit. They are not rioting in the streets the way they do in Vancouver either. but to me, it's a typical failure of European-style socialism. Socialistic government took over in 1974 and basically has run the country into the ground. It has somewhat of a poor education system and very rigid union labor, 83% debt to GDP ratio. So the country has some difficulties, very high taxes. The European Union's done a $110 billion bailout. That comes with a new government, which was installed today, a conservative, more right-wing government. But Portugal faces a tough time here. They're going to have to go on an austerity program, much like the Greeks are refusing to do right now.
Okay, well, let's talk about what's in the ground in Portugal, Mickey. We referred to this in an earlier program focusing on tungsten. Because of the metal, Portugal really played a rather significant role in World War II that perhaps a lot of people don't know about. Tell us about that, recap that story, and how much potential is there, do you think, for further development of tungsten projects in Portugal today?
Tungsten is used for heavy metal armament, so it was key to World War II. There was battles over Portugal, basically, because the Germans needed that for a source of tungsten. Portugal ended up on the Allied side, which helped defeat Germany in World War II. So tungsten's always been a strategic specialty metal, if you will, in Portugal. It remains that. The tungsten potential is quite good in the north. One of the world's class tungsten mines, Panasqueira, is in northern Portugal. In addition, probably the most important mineral product to come out of Portugal are the comes from the copper zinc mine in the south, and Portugal is an important part of what's called the Iberian Pyrite Belt, and these are some of the largest and richest copper zinc mines in the world, and one of those is called Neves-Corvo, and that's in Portugal. It's an important part of their exports. And on this trip, I was lucky enough to visit Neves-Corvo.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tell us a little bit about that that mine site, that project right now.
Well, there's been a new discovery there recently, 20 million tons of 4% copper. They're currently mining from six mines, and the seventh mine is development is in sight. Mm-hmm. It's run by a mid-tier base metal producer, Lundin Mining. And there's lots of mineral potential in the pyrite belt, lots of potential for new deposits discovered under shallow post-mineral cover. So the real potential there would be in the copper, zinc, and tungsten, but interestingly enough, there's been little to modern exploration done, and there's significant gold potential in Portugal, too, that has not seen very much attention at this time.
Okay, lots of potential there, Mickey. Is the government of Portugal, does it realize this potential? Is it a mining-friendly jurisdiction? Does it have policies in place that more or less encourage mineral exploration and development?
Well, I think very much so. It's run by what's called the Department of Energy and Geology. They're very supportive, and I think that's basically because Portugal needs the industry. They need exports, and they need good jobs. So the Department of Energy and Geology works with the mining companies, lends consultants to them. Mm-hmm. They have a very good regional and a project database. If you drill core in Portugal, if you give up a concession, you turn the core over. So they have a lot of information available for exploration and mining companies. Mineral tenure is a typical European-style system where you apply for a concession over 2 to 3 years. You reduce the size 50% each year. There are negotiated work requirements. At some point, you convert to exploitation at a resource stage in a mining lease. Taxes are reasonable, 3% NSR or an equivalent, what would be called a net profits interest. In underdeveloped rural areas, the corporate tax is 15% from the normal 25%. They have a 23% value added tax in the country, but that's recoverable on exploration expenses. So
All in all,
it's a very good mineral tenure system. There's one problem right now is if you apply for a claim application, there's a 30-day period where another party can come in and apply for the same concession. So, and then it can go to auction. But with the new government and lobbying by the mining companies, I think that'll be straightened out.
Okay, Mickey, in wrapping up, what is your overall assessment of Portugal, the political situation, the economic situation today, and I guess more importantly for our listeners, the mining potential in that country?
Overall, Rob, I think it's a really good place to find new deposits with a good mineral tenure system, reasonable taxes, a stagnant economy that needs jobs and exports. The problem with Portugal, it's a bankrupt country, and the next few years will be very difficult and challenging. The reason I went to Portugal is one of my sponsors is active in the country, and listeners can check that out on my website.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that note. Mickey, next time out, what do you want to focus on?
Well, I think we'll stick with our country assessment scenario here, and one of the countries I visited after my visit to Portugal was Sweden, and we will delve into the mineral potential, the economics, et cetera, in Sweden next time.
Okay, and I have to squeeze in this final thought. You were talking about rioting in Vancouver earlier, and you said it with a smile on your face. You weren't cheering for the Vancouver Canucks, were you?
No, I'm a good American, so my team won, the Boston Bruins, and not only that, but I won $400 Canadian from some of my Vancouver friends who went with The Quebecois goalie versus the good old American goalie.
Okay, and you won good old Canadian dollars, which are trading above par U.S. I got to get that in, Mickey, and wrapping up. Thanks very much for this. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Rob.
Okay, that is Mickey Fult, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.